Session number 15590, Phil Plowright, final reel 15.
Mr. Plowright, reel 15. We were talking about an incident when you were still with the speed company with Sherwood Foresters at Spearfield on the river. And you described how the guard was set up on the bridge.
Yes. And we paraded in the square, such as it was, little village square, to mount the guard. And then we were marched off, or we used to march up to the frontier post and all the rest of it. And on this particular occasion, which was rather humorous as I saw it, the guard was detailed for this particular on this particular occasion, and Harry Bennett, he didn't want to go on it because he was on. There was a party on or something, and he didn't want to go. He wanted to go to the party. Anyway, he paraded the guard, and as they were marching down the village street, he took out his Sten gun and did a quick burst at the statue, War Memorial, and shot the arm off the statue. And it left the concrete stuff surrounding the reinforcing was shot away, and it looked as if the sword was hanging out in midair. The hand had gone altogether, and you could just see the reinforcing, which from a fair distance you couldn't see at all. So it looked as if the sword was stuck in the air. And there was quite an inquiry about it. The local burgomaster, and he was going to do this, that and the other, but nobody pinned it down on old Bennett, and we all kept stum about it, and ultimately he got away with it. Nothing happened.
Yeah, they were both aside, really. Back to Vienna, when you were with the Loyals, you don't know what battalion, but...
No.
So, nothing much was happening there. You were swimming and doing your job as quartermaster. Anything else about that time again?
No, I looked around the sights and got a bit of music in, playing a little bit here and there, and we weren't there very long. I don't remember exactly how long we were there, and we came back, and we came back to Leibniz, and there were still one or two of the old team still kicking about. Wally Binch, he was there, and it was from Leibniz that I got my instructions for demob.
Were you looking forward to being demobbed?
No, I wasn't really. I'd taken to the army life, such as it was, with all the sport and the music and all the things that I loved to do, and I was missing out on military stuff, and I was enjoying it.
Did you do anything to try and stay? I
deferred for 6 months. They asked me if I would defer.
You should have gone 6 months before.
Yes, yes. I was 32 group, and my group had gone, and I stayed. There was one period with the Loyals, and I missed that out. We went to a place called Klein St. Paul. K-L-E-I-N... St. Paul, Powell they used to call it. And that was on the Hungarian frontier. And I don't remember much about that. We weren't there very long, but I remember Harry Bennett was there with me. We were both together in the Loyals, and we were both at Klein St. Paul. And I remember we had the sergeant's mess in a cafe. The dining room for the sergeant's mess was in this cafe. Been taken over by the military. That was in the Loyals. But I don't recall that all that well. Not with how it fitted
in.
What
about your demob? When was your demob then? And what was the procedure you went through?
Yes, I went on demob. I went over by train from Austria, from a place called Villach in Austria. We'd stayed one night over there. Went by train. We went down the Simplon line, overland rail, and we. I know we stopped in one place, and the train stopped, and we were allowed off the train, and it was in Switzerland where the train stopped. The place called. Yeah. And the local people had got banners out and welcome to the victorious British troops stuff, and they treated us very well. And we stayed there overnight, and then we entrained again and went over to went through Cologne, up through France, and up to Calais, where we embarked and landed at Folkestone. We then went over to Aldershot. We were billeted there for the night, and then we lined up and passed through various counters and collected Chilby hats and the suits and shoes and what have you.
What did you think of the quality here?
Terrible.
In what way?
Well, it looked, I suppose, at that time I wasn't all that particularly bothered about it. I didn't know one thing from another, but when I got home and I saw the quality of the stuff that was available for becoming available, albeit on coupons, this looked a bit on the seedy side. And I was issued with all this gear, and it was in a cardboard box tied up with string. And that was the end of it. That was the end of the army.
And what was the date? Do you remember what you No,
I don't. I don't remember the date, even.
Not even the month?
Yes, I do. It was October.
46?
Mm. Yeah.
And what were you to do now you were out of the army? I mean, could you go back to your pre-war?
Yes, I could have gone back again, but I didn't want to go back.
Why not? Could you just explain it?
Well, it was a completely different life from the one that I remembered. Bear in mind that I was 18 when I'd been in, and I was now 25.
You'd been a sheet metal apprentice.
That's right, yes, yes. Panel beater and the whole thing and all, yes.
That didn't appeal?
No, not a bit, no. No.
So what did you plan to do?
I didn't plan to do anything at that time. I didn't know what to do. So I just did the best I could with the money that I got, enjoyed it, and...
Where did you go? Did you go back to Ruddington?
In Ruddington, yes. Mm. And then when I'd settled down a bit, that was when I started to go in for agricultural thing.
Now, what made you decide that?
Because it was open air. It was open air, and... I'd had a grounding on agriculture before the war because my grandfather was a farmer, and I used to work horses and that before the war. And I knew a lot about although I was only young, I remember doing a lot of things that men had to do. So I gave it a go. And
how did you get into agriculture then?
I went to the agricultural college at Welbeck, and we were... The students were loaned out to the tenant farmers of the Duke.
Now, who arranged that? Was that arranged by you or by the army?
No, I did that. I applied for it to the Ministry of Agriculture. I knew that such a grant was available to me, and I applied and I got it and went. And I used to do... I was billeted. I used to do... school work at night time, studying at night time. I did courting. I did playing in the dance band. weekends to get extra money. And eventually I left there, and I got a job back in Nottinghamshire with a big farmer in a place called Edwalton, which was not far from Ruddington. I got a decent job there as such, but there was no money in it. I stuck it out for about a year. I did about everything. It was a big farm, very big. They had everything, even at that time. A grain dryer, a grass dryer, combines, everything that was you needed for the modern farmer. And but eventually I got a... My eldest daughter was born, and we had a cottage, but it was about a mile and a half from the village. Well, it wasn't a cottage, it was quite a nice house, actually. Been built especially for a cooperative farm, which my boss bought out. And but it was a long way from the village, and we didn't have cars and things, and we had to walk down if we wanted anything. So we moved, I packed it up, and we moved back to my parents, back in Ruddington. And we, during that time, I got a job with a local brickworks, or over at Bunny, which is about 3 miles from Ruddington. And it was driving, mainly. And I was driving heavy wagons and taking cable covers and things like concrete stuff out to various places all around the country. And then the firm that I worked for applied for some Italian labour. And I came back to the works, and these Italians were there, and nobody could speak to them, only me. And I was conversing with these Italians. I was very good at Italian, very, very good. I could read it and speak it quite fluently. And although they'd come from a southern Italy, it wasn't a good dialect they had, but it was I could understand it, and they could understand me. So it became such that when I was coming back to the works, the manager of the then manager of the works was sort of nailing me to give orders to these Italians. They didn't want to know, obviously. They were playing it cool, and they didn't want to know much about it. They wanted to get what they could for nothing, sort of thing. But it all turned around then, and the manager applied to the head office of the company to see if I could be transferred from the transport to the works. It all started for me then. I was put into the quarries, and then I was brought onto the works, and I was made yard foreman, and then I was made general foreman. And I became the manager packed up. He went to live in Wiltshire, retired and went to live in Wiltshire. And I was made everything that was going there. Although a bloke was brought from head office in a different capacity, and I was working the works and the yard and the quarries and everything by myself. And I thought, well, I'm not getting the recognition for this. So a job came vacant in Lancashire at the famous Norai Works, Accrington Brick and Tile. I applied for that and got it. And I was there for 7 or 8 years, and then I applied for this job that I recently retired from at George Armitage in Yorkshire, and that was where I retired.
Do you think your army experiences had affected you, either mentally or physically, for good or for bad?
Yes, I think they had. Well, they certainly had. I'd never known a sort of no sort of domestic, ordinary domestic life for the very formative years, from being a country boy, if you like, to finishing up as a rank anyway, in the army, and with all the responsibilities and skills that you needed to be that way, which I couldn't apply anyway to anything in civil life. So I had to start again, really. It took me a year or two to come back, but based on a lot of the things that I'd learnt in the army, it stood me in good stead in management, and which I became later on.
Your experience as an NCO were useful, and Quartermaster Sergeant were useful for this.
Oh, indeed, yes, 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 indeed.
What about, I mean, did it cause any problems mentally, the war and things you'd seen or done?
It did for a time, but I forgot about them and deliberately tried not to hark back to them, if you like. And in the process of doing that, a lot of the things that I ought to remember, I've forgotten. I can't recall them. Place names and things of that sort, I can't recall them.
What about physically? Any?
Well, I was, when I came out of the army, I was quite slim. I've always been tall, obviously, and I weighed 13 stone 10 when I came out of the army, and I maintained that for quite a number of years, and I think that was due to being in the army and being interested in sport. I played football and cricket and all the rest of it when I came out for a lot of years, and it's not until recently that I started to put weight on, and now I'm losing it all again, just leaving the paunch, if you like, and all the rest of it's gone. The shoulders and the arms and the legs have just disappeared. Don't know where they've gone, but they have.
Thank you very much.